Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresandOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419, 1-800-808-3419, or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we've got a lot of NFL news for you. We're going to cover every NFL game played on Sunday, and we've got the latest news out of the nation's capital regarding the firing of Redskins head coach Jay Gruden. Bruce Allen met with the media just minutes ago, and we've got some sound from that press conference. We, of course, are going to tackle the Chicago Bears, who had their own tackling problems yesterday against the Oakland Raiders. And we're going to get Mike's reaction to John Gruden's celebration after the win. Controversial poke at the Chicago Bears. We'll try to squeeze a little baseball in as the playoffs continue. And let's not waste any more time. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, well, though, it's good to talk to you on this Monday. Apparently, we're the only two that didn't go to London over the weekend. Was following on Twitter. Want to thank everybody who was tweeting out from London. Now, you know, you have to make that flight home, which is brutal. You're going to be hungover, which is brutal. The Bears lost, which is brutal. And you'll have jet lag for about a week. But other than that, it was an upbeat trip. But I will tell you this. Yesterday, I didn't have to go to London to go on a trip. Vegas Scores and Odds, for the last 7 days, I am a 4-1. And also, this week, all sports, 10-5. John Anthony right behind me. Bryce Bell, the odds father, Tony Sacco. Call that number 1-866-504-2201. Major League Baseball, I'm on fire right now. In fact, I have one game that I only played today. It's Tampa Bay, and they're winning right now 3-1 in the top of the third against the Houston Astros. I got that one out, and I also got tonight's NFL game. I have the side, and I have the total between San Francisco and the fabulous. And if you want to talk about San Francisco tonight, you got Jimmy Garoppolo against Baker Mayfield, and the number for free line 1-866-504-2201, 1-866-504-2201. My only losing platform yesterday, which isn't bad, was the odds couple. I was 1-2. I'm 9-6 overall with Bears Barroom last week. I told everybody, don't worry about it. And I went 2-1, and now I am 9-6, same as on the odds couple with Bears Barroom. So having a great week, had a great week, and tomorrow will be Accountability Tuesday.
Awesome job, Mike North. Let's get right to the NFL action. Lots of stuff to cover. Yesterday's disappointing last loss for Chicago Bears fans probably stung even more because John Gruden had a little post-game celebration that is making its rounds around social media. This is what he said.
Hey, listen, I don't have a disco in here. I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing. Say this, man. I'm 56 years old. That's the most fun I've ever had tonight, man. I am so proud of you. You have no idea. I mean, we've been through a roller coaster already, but what you proved today is one thing. You can beat anybody, anywhere, on any time zone. You got it.
John Gruden making fun of the Bears club dub. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm not, you know, John Gruden rubbing it in the Bears' face. You know, he's been hearing about how stupid he was about Khalil Mack for 2 years and how Khalil Mack didn't want to play for him. There's a lot of pent-up stuff inside of John Gruden, no doubt. The Chicago Bears and Khalil Mack decided to craft the bet yesterday, and that made it even sweeter for John Gruden, who's on with a football team that's won 2 games in a row now. A team that was supposed to still be in trouble. They lost Khalil Mack, but they still got some playmakers on their team. They showed up to play where the Bears didn't. I mean, it was a stinker for the Chicago Bears. I feel bad for the people that went out there. I took the flight. I've taken that flight, and I've taken it back. It's not fun. And I'm sure everybody had the time of their life, no doubt about it, until the game started. And then the Bears just laid an egg, although that's all you can say.
They sure did lay an egg, and it was a combination of a lot of errors. You talk about team wins. This was definitely a team loss with so many parts of the game going around. But that first half was truly horrendous. It looked like the Bears were still asleep. Do you think the travel to London and leaving on Thursday, as opposed to what the Raiders did leaving on Monday, had anything to do with the slow start for the Chicago Bears?
I don't know if it had anything to do with the slow start, but there's no doubt that Oakland was acclimated. And the Bears didn't look acclimated. And, you know, the Bears had to make a lot of personal type appearances, probably. The Bears enjoyed the sights of London, just like Oakland did. And the Bears, I mean, let's not forget this. They were favored. And they were favored to win this thing. And they should have won this thing if they had any kind of idea. But it looked like, basically, they left their game in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I got to give Oakland all the credit in the world. The Bears are not an automatic. And when you haven't won anything yet, and you do things like discos and stuff like that, and, you know, the media preps you up. I mean, all the media yesterday was pro-Bear. The crowd was pro-Bear. And then you lay an egg like that, you're going to get what you deserve, which is criticism and also coaches who, you know, like to see teams celebrate and watch that. I think it was a combination of the Khalil Mack, over the last 2 years, how Gruden was a moron and how Oakland's a bunch of losers. And then, of course, the Chicago Bears beating that team. Gruden now can say, okay, they beat Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is a pretty good team, as we're finding out. They beat Indianapolis at Indianapolis. But now Gruden could say, we beat a team that was 12-4 last year at a playoff football team.
The Bears are currently the sixth most penalized team in the NFL. They have 43 penalties. The Falcons lead the league with 49. Matt Nagy addressed that this morning when he talked to the media.
The start of the game on offense, okay? They drive down the field on offense. They get a penalty, and now they got a punt. We get the ball, and we're getting first downs, and then boom, penalty, and then boom, another penalty, and now all of a sudden it's 3rd and 20. That's hard. And to start, it's about a start. How do you start? And so when you're 3rd and 20 on your first drive, you're in trouble. And so we did flip the field, got the ball back, had an interception and a 3-and-out. Before you know it, there's 16 plays in the first half. 16. 7 yards rushing, et cetera. I think it was. I mean, at least that's what it was when I marked it down when I was watching the tape. So I'm not done yet. I'm going to finish this question. So that's that, you know. And so now you get into the third quarter, and we go ahead and we get a turnover, we spark it, we get aggressive in the pass game, and you see when you have an Allen Robinson, he's tough to stop, and that's exactly what happened.
Sounds a little testy about the penalties, huh?
Of course. Lack of discipline. Anthony Miller was atrocious yesterday. I thought he hurt us badly. The defense was putrid. Chase Daniel throws two bad interceptions. And let me just say this about Chase Daniel. When you're a backup quarterback and you throw two interceptions, you know, you win the first week, and then you throw two interceptions the second week, that's the end, hopefully, for you. That's what people think, because you're a backup quarterback. If you're Dak Prescott, you can get your ass kicked, throw three interceptions, but because the media and the elite media in the NFL loves you and the Dallas Cowboys, you can demand $30 million. There's a fine line between being a starter and people accepting bad games and saying, oh, it's just a bad day for Dak. And for being a backup, you can't afford one bad game. Now I guarantee you this, if Mitch has a game like Chase Daniel had yesterday, a few weeks down the line when he's back, they won't ask to replace him because he's known as a starter. When you're known as a backup, you're going to get, see, this has been his career. Some good games, some bad games. I mean, that's just the way it is.
What's your position right now regarding the quarterback situation with the Chicago Bears? Do you still feel that Chase Daniel should be battling for the starting job?
No, it's hard to state a case for him now. It really is, because I just said that a backup quarterback, he's got to manage the football game. He did a bad job yesterday. You know what? Would the Bears have won with Mitch Trubisky yesterday the way that they came out and the way that Oakland came out? I sort of doubt it, but you never know. Bottom line is that if Mitch is ready to go, they're going to put him back in, because this is a game that Chase Daniel could not afford to have because he's a backup. He had to keep playing well like McCown did a few years back. In other words, you've got to build cachet, you know, within the fan base and within the team. And that sort of went away yesterday.
Okay. Nagy was asked about cracking the whip. And will he start doing that this season? And this was his response.
Well, I had to do that last year, too. I did. You know, there was times where we had to do it. This year, it's just coming a little bit earlier. You know, it's where we're at. But I just really trust and appreciate who these guys are as people, and I trust them. I trust that they're gonna figure out a way, along with us, what the answers are, and that we stick together.
Mike, one of the problems with
this. I don't care how they are as people. I don't care if they have bad table manners. I don't care if they, you know, basically try to sneak into movies. I don't care if they have a couple drinks at 10 at night. What the hell's he talking about? Just go win the football game. I trust these Bennett people. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
You don't.
Holy Toledo.
You don't think.
Imagine Lombardi. I trust these Bennett people. Come on.
You don't think that having high character in the locker room accounts for some success?
Well, yeah, I think sometimes it does, but how do you explain the Oakland Raiders back in the day? Look, they're not criminals. Cincinnati had a criminal player base for years. They're not like that, but, you know, I don't know if, you know, the nicest people on earth might be the Washington Redskins players. What difference does that make when they get on the football field, they're 0-5, and their coach is gone? And he probably was a nice guy. Good people. But guess what? They can't play football. So he's out the door.
George Bayless, who lives across the pond, he was at the game yesterday and joined us on our show Last Call. He says that the problem with this team mostly stems from what's happening on the offensive line, particularly Charles Leno at left tackle, who leads the league in penalties, and the play of right guard Kyle Long, who has just looked abysmal. You agree with that?
Yeah, we talked about this the other day. And I heard Dan Hampton on a rant on Twitter with OB this morning. And basically, I don't know what happened to the Bears' offensive line, because he said last year, near the end, the Bears' offensive line was supposed to be getting better and better. And yesterday, he burnt them to the ground. I mean, they just have not looked good. They can't get the running game going. They've had one good day of running, one good game of running for the most part. They just got beat on both ends in the trenches. Defensively, they got their butts kicked too on the line. And they're, you know what? I'd like to just focus on the offense. But when you start, and I've even said it myself, certain players remind me of the 85 Bears. That went out the window yesterday. That's gone. 97-yard drives, that never happened, I don't believe, to the 85 Bears.
This was a team that all of last week, the Chicago Bears, just they didn't get a mojo going because there was the Roquan Smith situation, and they had to expend energy addressing that. It was disruptive.
Was that the character thing you're talking about, a player just missing the game and the Bears not even telling you what happened?
Exactly.
That type of character thing?
Yes, the personal issue.
Guess what? If you're going to look at it from a distance, that shouldn't happen on a football team. You're contracted to play football. And unless somebody died or unless you went to prison, you should have played that game. But we can play the character game all day long. I guarantee you this. You play 16 games a year, you should be there. And he was there yesterday, and he got beat a few times.
Oh, yes, he did. He had a really difficult first half.
He had a horrible game yesterday with the rest of them.
Yeah.
You better make it to the rest of the games. You never know when it's going to be gone.
Matt Nagy said that this defense wasn't, they weren't themselves. And so you have to ask the question, why weren't they themselves? And the only thing that I can come up with is, you know, the travel situation plus the disruption in the locker room with the Roquan Smith issues, because there was a lot of talk about that during the week when they should have been preparing. Perhaps that's an issue.
How about Khalil Mack? Near the end, just running off the field, too tired to play.
Khalil Mack expends a lot of energy battling through double,
Lawrence Taylor,
double and triple teams.
All the great ones we've been comparing them to. How about Khalil Mack running off the field during a key part of the game and asking for rest? I mean, come on. I mean, you know why that is, Aldo? No drives.
Exactly.
They had drives the last 2 years with Jordan Howard, the people that didn't care about Jordan Howard. I'll give Carmen DeFalco this. Carmen, along with other people in this town, said he didn't think it would hurt the Bears that he's gone, that Jordan Howard's gone. He said this last week, but at least he was honest. He said, but he's playing good football. Anybody that wants this year's running backs over Jordan Howard and 510 carries over 2 years when they got first downs, controlled the ball, and the defense didn't have to spend more than three-quarters of the game on the field is out of their minds. If you're going to tell me you would want David Montgomery right now over Jordan Howard, and you got a chance to redo that deal, and you still want it, that means your position was you didn't want Jordan Howard last year.
But you can't.
He had 13 carries for only 67 yards, but he's a good football player. When did Jordan Howard ever really hurt our team? And we were 12-4 with him. 12-4. And then we get rid of a workload back, a grinder. And then today I hear people saying, you know what, I'm not concerned about that. And then you remember, they're the ones that didn't care if he left last year. They're just trying to support an argument, which they're losing right now, because the Bear running game is in disarray.
You're not saying that the Bears are losing because Jordan Howard is not on the team, are you?
I'm saying they're not winning, maybe, because Jordan Howard's not on the team.
You can't
get rid of a guy that carried the ball 500. Are you saying 500 carries over 2 years isn't going to be missed?
I'm saying that it's the offensive line. Jordan Howard wouldn't have any space to run, just like David Montgomery doesn't.
That's a bunch of nonsense. He ran.
What are you talking about, Mike? You were just criticizing the offensive line, and now you're saying Jordan Howard would miraculously fix the offensive line. That's not true, Mike.
Hold on for a minute. There are running backs that still perform despite how their offensive lines are. So, in other words, you got it that he would have averaged 3 yards a carry yesterday, like Montgomery. I'm just trying to tell you, all of a sudden, last year it was Jordan Howard's fault he wouldn't be missed. This year it is the line's fault. But to say that the running backs are blameless is ridiculous. Who's getting the money back there? That's all I'm saying.
I don't think David Montgomery deserves blame, because I think it's a play-calling situation. It's the offensive line that's not blocking. I see a running back in David Montgomery that if he was with the Eagles, he would be getting more carries than Jordan Howard and be playing at a higher level, because I think he's a better player.
I remember you in training camp when you said, look at this David Montgomery bouncing off players.
Yes.
And then somebody had to tweet back, they're not tackling Aldo. I understand that the kid might be talented, but we moved up for this guy, and he's averaging 3.3 yards a carry. And as far as I remember, the 2 years Jordan Howard was here, he didn't average 3.3 yards a carry. And right now, Jordan Howard, I understand Philadelphia's running game. What was it last year? I don't don't remember, but he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry. The guy's been a legitimate back in this league for 2 years. We still don't know what we got Elds and David Montgomery. We still don't know.
Yeah, I'm not trashing Jordan Howard. I know that he's a good back, but I think that to say that if Jordan Howard was with the Bears right now, that their running game would be better, I just don't buy that because it is clear that the issue is on the offensive line. It is clear to me, plus the play call.
Their offensive line wasn't that good last year running the football, and
it was much better. It was much better than it is this year. Much better.
Yet, because you want to know something? I will say this. The only decent running game the Bears had was against the Redskins, and they fired their coach today. So you know what? They got some problems. Regardless of Howard's there, regardless of Montgomery's there, regardless if Walter Payton comes back, you know, came back and got it done. You do need better blocking. But I'm not going to sit here and say Jordan Howard would be averaging 3.3 yards a carry. Got a little bit more respect for a guy that's logged some time in the league for over 2 years.
What did Jordan Howard average last season? Do you recall what
he averaged? 3.8.
3.8.
And that's not a killer. But you know what he did? He got first downs. He made big plays. And we've talked about this in the offseason. I told you last year I'd miss Jordan Howard. So I'm not a Johnny come lately.
No, I know you're not. I know.
Yeah, I'm not. I said that the guy was a grinder and would keep drives going. And you even admitted earlier. Yeah, we don't have no drives this year. Wow, the running game's important to have drives, guys.
You miss Cameron Meredith too, right?
Well, you could throw some cheap shots at me if you want.
I am.
That's
I'm throwing.
Okay. At least I'll admit that I made a mistake and won't say, yeah, Montgomery, he'll be better maybe than Jordan Howard someday. Not in my world, not yet.
Well,
the people that I discuss this with are the same people that wanted Cutler for 8 years, and the more he stank, the more they couldn't wait to smell his farts. So I understand a lot of Bear fans. They're emotional about players and everything else. They didn't question when he got an extension. They loved Cutler. Bear fans, there's some Bear fans that love anybody that's in a Bear uniform, and when a Bear leaves, they don't give a damn about him anymore. I happen to think, maybe I'm wrong, Jordan Howard right now is a better back overall than David Montgomery, period.
Well, he might be. Certainly the stats prove you are correct from that standpoint. All right,
I'm sweating right now. Hold on. Let's get it. But that's what's fun about this game.
Absolutely.
You and I, we love each other. We get in a heated debate because you know what? We're aggravated.
Absolutely.
We got two losses already. I mean, we were 12-4 last year. And let me just say this. I said this to Carmen Friday on AM1000 with the Odds Couple, Eldo. So I'm going to tell you, because both you guys I love. Bears ain't winning no Super Bowl with these two quarterbacks. They're not. Let's just hope we can make the playoffs. And Green Bay doesn't look like they're stopping anytime soon.
Okay, let's turn our attention to other NFL news, starting with the situation in Washington. The firing of Jay Gruden, the head coach of the Washington Redskins, was informed late last night around 8 p.m. Eastern time that he was no longer going to be coaching the team. And then the team president, Bruce Allen, met the media about 2 hours ago. And boy, did he get a drilling from the media at the nation's capital. Here's one exchange.
Yesterday, your stadium was pretty much taken over by Patriot fans. The players heard it. The opposing players heard it. The opposing head coach mentioned it yesterday. Where we're at right now, can you apologize to the Washington Redskins fans who have been so loyal for so long? And what are you going to do starting today in your capacity to make things better?
Well, I appreciate, Tom, I appreciate the fact that the Patriots have a great fan base. And they've had tremendous success, and Bill Belichick's probably the best coach in NFL history, so I'm sure many of our fans put their tickets on the second market and made some money on it, selling it to people from the Northeast. All we can do is try to improve our product. These games we weren't close in. We've lost five games.
It gets worse, Mike. Do you want to hear any more?
I was just thinking, this sounds like, is this somebody from Chicago? I thought it was Paxson. No, let me tell you something, Elton. How does a guy like Bruce Allen, this is great, folks. This is what I do my homework. I don't just roll over. and say, what will I bring to the table today? Bruce Allen hadn't held a press conference, Aldo, since 2015.
Are you serious?
Oh, how do you get away with that in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, my God.
You go 3-4 years without a press conference. Now, here, that's unbelievable. Do you know that under Dan Snyder, but maybe the worst owner in sports, I may have to push Reinsdorf to second, but how do you only win 10 games three times since you've owned the team over 25, 30 years? Not one coach from Joe Gibbs to Marty Schottenheimer to all the has ever been 500 or better. I believe this all fell apart, and I was looking back today because I knew we were going to talk about this when it broke this morning. The biggest hurt that ever happened to them was RG3 getting injured.
Oh, yeah?
In 2000, when he was rolling, they were like 7-1. I'm reading Wilbon and all these other guys saying he's the best player in the NFL. You can look it up. RG3, Mike Wilbon, at the time, said clearly the best player in the NFL. Then he went down, there was a big circus, and since that time, they've never been able to get it right.
That is so true. And it's debatable, too, whether they should have invested that high of a draft pick on that quarterback, given that he plays a style that is typically doesn't last long in the NFL. Running quarterbacks have a very short shelf life. And you can also make the argument that the Redskins didn't do enough to protect them with better offensive linemen and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Here's another one, folks. Kirk Cousins should still be their quarterback. That was another mistake.
They
should have kept him there. Kirk Cousins can play. Now, he gets his haters, there's no doubt. I'm not particularly enamored with the guy, but I watched the game yesterday, and they're paying him now. I mean, seriously, you're going to go to Dwayne Haskins? He's not ready to go. Colt McCoy, man, I thought I watched him play Texas in 1970. My God, you know, when he was playing for Texas. You know, it just seems like he played for 30 years ago, and he's still around. He still looks the same. And Keenum is a step down from Kirk Cousins. So I think a big mistake they made was letting go of Kirk Cousins.
The issue, though, was the amount of money that the Vikings invested in Kirk Cousins. That was a tough pill for the Redskins to swallow in terms of investing that
amount.
So
how much are they paying Keenum? How much are they going to end up paying Haskins?
Yeah.
They got this Colt McCoy guy. I mean, really, and none of them can play. And Kirk Cousins, I watched him yesterday. The New York Giants were on a roll, and he went in there and ran the show. Now, the difference between him and Tom Brady is he can't do it every week. But when he does do it, it makes you think back, hey, you know what? Maybe Washington should have kept him because it hasn't gotten any better.
Mike, the New England Patriots go to Washington and annihilate the Redskins 33-7. But I looked at the Patriots' schedule. These are the teams that they've beaten. Pittsburgh 1-4, Miami 0-4, Jets 0-4, Buffalo 4-1, and Washington 0-5. That's a total one-loss record, and I gotta get my computer out here to calculate. It's 5-14.
How many wins between those five teams?
Only 5 wins, and 4 of them are from Buffalo.
They don't make out the schedule. The thing that's encouraging or discouraging for me, because I did take Washington yesterday because I couldn't believe they were getting 20 or 21 points, like Miami had gotten, like the Jets. Washington, they fired their coach today. They were as bad as those two teams, yet they were only getting 15. I thought it was a trap. New England hadn't covered in 2 weeks. They don't go 3 weeks without covering. He got it done. Tom Brady's a machine. You know, one of the reasons those teams all got 4 losses is because the Patriots never lay down for anybody. They go out to beat everybody. I mean, you know, things like losing to Oakland, for the most part, don't happen to New England like it happened to us yesterday. And that's the difference between a team that's playoff pedigree and a team that's just starting to find its legs. And they're still a young team, our Bears.
Yeah, it's very true. The Patriots' schedule the rest of the way, it doesn't offer too many challenges. All right, they got the Giants next week. They got the Jets the week following week. At Browns at New England.
When?
Then they go to Baltimore to play the Ravens.
That might be a loss.
Yep. And then the following week, they go to Philly to play the Eagles.
Ooh.
So
they
got
are too good. It's about time they play somebody worth a damn.
That's right.
My God. Let those 70-year-old linemen chase that that Jackson kid around for a while.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Is Teddy Bruschi still with the Patriots? Mike Vrabel, I'm looking for him yesterday. Somebody goes, he's coaching Tennessee. Oh, sorry. They just keep replacing guys. That's unbelievable. But they're in the worst division probably in the history of sports, the AFC East.
Yes, it really is the worst.
Right?
Yes, they are blessed with being on that division, boy. Omar Berrios makes a really good point that I totally forgot about. Alex Smith going down for the Washington Redskins with that horrendous injury was a big setback for that
big
team.
Big setback.
Yeah.
That was a huge setback, and who knows if he's ever going to play again. That's a great, great call, and that doesn't happen if they hang on to Cousins, maybe, but you know what? I like Alex Smith, too. But in a way, you know what, that injury, that's just some more bad luck.
Yep, they've got tons of bad luck over at Washington. Now, it looks like the luck over at Minnesota, you mentioned them, it looks like the passing game luck is starting to change. Adam Thielen caught two touchdown passes. Kirk Cousins had a good game. And then Adam Thielen was on the NFL Network, and he was asked about what it's going to take for this passing game to continue to play at the kind of level they demonstrated yesterday, as opposed to what's happened previously where it looked anemic.
Frustration we had last week was just, we know what kind of team we have. We know what we got and guys we have in this locker room, and we know the talent. And it just comes down to consistency. And at the end of the day, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do better to be more consistent? And you know, it was kind of cool to see the guys in this locker room, the way that they practiced this week and the way that they were just like, F it, let's go play ball and let's go have fun doing it.
Adam Thielen went publicly, kind of challenged Kirk Cousins and said, we got to throw the ball consistently downfield. You just can't rely on the running game. I thought that had a really big impact on this team, and it really helped the passing game. And perhaps somebody on the Chicago Bears team needs to speak up just like Adam Thielen. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I'm sure they are, Alex. I'm sure they are. And I will say this. After the game, I saw an interview. I don't know who the lady was, but she said to him, what did the thing said about, you know, that Adam Thielen said and everything else, how did that affect you? And Cousins goes, well, we don't worry about the outside noise. So naturally, she's already thinking about what her next question is going to be, and she's not listening, apparently.
Oh, gosh.
My question would be, how's it outside noise if Adam Thielen said it?
Yeah.
10 feet from your locker.
Exactly.
How's it outside noise? It wasn't outside noise. It was inside noise. Stephon Diggs wanted to be traded.
Right.
He was a great player, and he's back in the fold. And Thielen had enough of the running the football, Mike Zimmer. You know what? Pass the football. Your strength is at the wide receiver position, period. And they did that yesterday, and hopefully they'll continue to do that. I know Zimmer wants to run the ball and play defense, but he'll run himself right out of a job. He's got two great receivers, and he was running the football like it was 1973 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You've got to have a balanced attack. You just cannot rely on a running back. You know, Bears didn't win a Super Bowl until they got some passing help to help Walter Payton, who was getting destroyed week after week with 30 carries and stuff like that, and Zimmer wants to play that kind of.
You know what's bad about Walter? Uh-huh. We say he was getting destroyed.
Yeah.
You'd read the injury report after you played the Bears.
Right.
The team would lose for the most part the next week because they got their butts kicked by the Bears, and Peyton played every game.
I hear you. I hear you. He was leveling more punishment on some of those runs than the tackler has Walter Payton.
I'm waiting for somebody to say Payton wouldn't gain any yards with this offensive line, too. He ran behind some horrible offensive lines in the 70s, and the guy put up giant numbers. That's talent and will.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, you think we'll ever return back to the days where we're seeing running backs carrying the ball 25, 30 times a game on a consistent basis?
Yes, I think we will. I like what Dallas did last night, but you know what? Dak Prescott apparently maybe asking for $30 million is maybe haunting him a little bit, contract negotiations, but he threw three interceptions in that game. It wasn't because of the running game, and give credit to the other team. Look, this league is balanced. The Bears might come out now and win three games in a row. We'll forget about all the loss yesterday. But there's no doubt everybody's aggravated. Everybody's looking for answers to why they came out flat. That's one thing a head coach has to have his team ready to play. They were not.
Yep. Well, Matt LaFleur had his team ready to play, the Green Bay Packers against the Dallas Cowboys. They were winners 34-24, and it wasn't Aaron Rodgers who was the star of the game. It was Aaron Jones, who ran 19 times for 170 yards, four touchdowns. He also added seven catches for 75 yards. This was Aaron Jones after the game.
Yes, sir. The big guys up front getting them moving, and I'm just seeing creases, and I'm able to run. And when you can do that, it's fun out there. You're just running and weaving through traffic pretty much. Each week, I'm feeling more and more comfortable in the offense, and so I feel like I'm going to continue to get better and better as the weeks go on and look to continue to flourish.
Merv in the chat room is saying, stop playing those Green Bay Packers sound bites. I hate the Green Bay Packers.
You're doing a great job with these cuts, and you know what? It's good to hear certain outlooks by certain players in the league, and that's what we do on this show, brought to you by the great folks at Vegas Scores and Odds of VSAO. Follow at VSA Sports, VSAO Sports, VSAO Sports, and follow us. We're getting close to 600. Folks, check out. I got some NFL up tonight and everything else. But, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Green Bay, I mean, this guy LaFleur, yeah, was he was going to be too young? Was Aaron Rodgers going to get along with them? They looked like their defense got better. Their offensive line got better. They had some injuries. McCarthy letting them go apparently was a good thing, even though he had won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, right now, I mean, they're in charge of the division, period.
They really are. They, you know, came off that loss the previous week, but they certainly have a team. You know, you go to Dallas and you beat the Cowboys in Dallas. That's you can pound your chest there and say, yeah, I'm good. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is this LaFleur this year's Nagy? I mean, that's how you got to look at it. Are they going to trip up? I understand. I know this. They are one injury away from being extinct, and that's at the quarterback position, period. Where other teams, you could lose maybe your quarterback. Look at Teddy Bridgewater, for God's sake. I mean, look what they're doing in New Orleans. They win every week with the second-string quarterback. Great job by Bridgewater, but even a better job by Sean Payton. So it depends who you have at quarterback. I think if Green Bay's quarterback gets hurt, they're finished, period.
Yep, and the same thing goes with the Houston Texans. If Deshaun Watson gets hurt, they're done, period. Watson threw for five touchdown passes yesterday, 426 yards, and the Houston Texans beat down on the Atlanta Falcons 53-32, and this was an exchange between a reporter and Watson after the game.
How does it make you feel to know that since 1950, you're only third quarterback in history to have 400 yards, five touchdowns, and a 158.3 perfect rating, one of three in history?
I mean, it's pretty cool. It's you know, we just try to, like I said, just try to get better each and every week, try to build on that, and try to, you know, do it consistently. You know, the great ones can do those things consistently, and we left a lot of plays on the field, you know, missed a couple touchdowns, so it could have even been better. So there's always, you know, room to improve, but yeah, I mean, that stat is pretty crazy.
Gotta love that young man's attitude towards the game, right, Mike?
Hold on. Believe me when I tell you this. Every week I watch him, and all I can say is I wanted you so bad for the Bears. And we moved up get Mitch because we didn't want and I didn't want Mahomes either. I wanted Watson. The guy beat Alabama. Wait a minute. Let me just say it again. The guy beat Alabama, won a national championship, 1 year through 40-some, 45 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Every time I see his face, I feel like I've been on an all-night drunk. Hold on for a minute. I'm going to throw up in the garbage. That's what I feel about this whole situation. That guy could have been our quarterback. We wouldn't have had to move up. It would have been a beautiful thing.
Well, that's one player personnel opinion where you totally trounced me. I was not that big of – I was not hopeful that Deshaun Watson was going to have a great NFL career, and I was totally wrong.
And it was Ryan Pace.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you move up? I still have never gotten a clear answer.
Yep.
Nobody was going to take Mitch. How do you move up?
Well, apparently.
I don't. That is That will go down in history with Mahomes and Watson. That is a giant cross across the bow of Ryan Pace. A bad check mark. That's bad.
And the interesting thing, too, Mike, is that...
And he wasn't the only one, Aldo, but he's the one we care about.
Right. He tried to deflect the fact that they were so focused on getting Trubisky. So they go out and sign Mike Lennon to a $16 million guaranteed contract. There was much more, but it was guaranteed dollars for $16 million. And really, the only reason he did that was to make people think that he wasn't going to draft a quarterback. So he threw away all that money when he just should have just said, you know, we're going to find a backup quarterback and we're going to draft one. You know, there was three good ones in that draft. And some people even thought four with DeShone Kizer. But anyway, water under the bridge.
Anyway, hey, it's water. But see, the water under the bridge thing, by missing out on a once-in-a-generation player, he did something only two or three other guys have done since 1950. That's unbelievable. And, you know, it's just going to... It's going to remind us every time Mitch goes through some trials and tribulations that he couldn't even win the job in college till his last year.
Yeah, very, very true. Well, Patrick Mahomes is the other quarterback that Bears fans, many Bears fans are lamenting that Ryan Pace did not pick up. But Mahomes did not have a good day yesterday, and the Chiefs were upset by the Indianapolis Colts. This was Frank Reich, the head coach of the Colts. After the game.
Okay, wow, what a great win. What we said in there in that locker room was the one emotion that we were not feeling was shock. I can't even explain it. All week long, we had that feeling. Starting on Wednesday, with the way we practice, it was by far our best week of practice since we've been here, and particularly on defense. It was good in all three phases, but particularly good on defense, and obviously that showed today. Coming in this place against that offense and to do what our defense did today was unreal.
Pretty amazing. And what they did on offense, that offensive line did a wonderful job of opening up holes for running back Marlon Mack, who had 132 yards on 29 carries. Boy, there you go, Mike. Old-fashioned football.
Yeah, and how about how Andrew Luck's not missed?
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett.
That?
Yeah, how about that?
And Jacoby Brissett, I said, boy, they gave a three-year deal to this guy.
Right.
And how about the fact that they snapped Mahomes' and Kansas City streak of 25 points or more? I think that had been like their low point.
Yeah.
So that's unbelievable. Good job by Indianapolis. Jacoby Brissett, you know me, I love the underdog.
Yep.
But you know what? I even love it more that the great Andrew Luck is gone. And Indianapolis is playing great football without him.
They are indeed. I was shocked at that score. And when I went back and read about the game and saw some of the highlights,
Patrick, good defense.
Yes, the defense, they played man-to-man defense, and it frustrated Mahomes. Mahomes has a lot of success against zone defenses, and the only games that he has been contained is when he faces man-to-man defenses. So I'm sure a lot of other teams who the Chiefs will face later this season are going to be facing or are going to be employing that man-to-man. Whoa, sorry about that. Got a commercial.
If you can play man-to-man, there's some teams
yes,
that have trouble.
Good point.
And if they try to do it on a permanent basis, you got to mix it up. I think if you're a defense, you play some zone, you play some man, you try to stick to your strength 60 to 70% of the time, but you got to try to confuse the offensive quarterback too.
I'm with you on that. Totally with you. It's not an easy thing to play man to man. You got to have the right personnel. You've got to do it the right way or you will get burned by almost any quarterback in the NFL. All right, I wanted to give a shout out to Teddy Bridgewater, who you've talked about. You talk about underdogs. This guy said no to a starting job elsewhere because he was just happy to play for the New Orleans Saints, and he's now gotten his opportunity, and the Saints now have won, what is it, three or four in a row with Bridgewater at the helm. This was Sean Payton on Teddy Bridgewater's performance against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, look, he got into a rhythm, and I felt like we did a good job protecting for him. We got the ball down the field more, and you know the guys made some plays. A bunch of different guys made plays, so I was happy to see, you know, some of the longer throws and the way he played, definitely.
Yeah, Saints are. How are they from a betting perspective, Mike? Are they were a lot of people down on the Saints when Breeze went down and the money was going the opposite way?
A lot of people like. In fact, one of Carmen's plays was New Orleans. A lot of people like New Orleans with Bridgewater because he doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
He doesn't do what Chase did yesterday or what a lot of other backup guys do.
Yep.
You know, he just seems. Look, he was projected to be a starter in the league. And I think playing for Minnesota, playing for other, you know, he's just got his feet under him. I think he's a great young man. There were people that doubted his comeback. He never did. He made a great business decision, folks, if you stop and think about it. Who do you go play for? You go where there is an offensive line. You go where they have talented running backs. You'd rather be a second stringer behind a Hall of Famer. But a 37-year-old Hall of Famer who could go down at any second. This was an excellent business decision by Teddy Bridgewater and excellent coaching and help from Drew Brees. This is a team to look out for because if you're playing your second-string quarterback in this league and you're winning weekly, you got more than just a quarterback.
You are absolutely right. The numbers on Teddy.
I'm on fire today, aren't I?
You really are. Well, you're on fire.
I'm telling you, we're rolling. We were crabby a little bit because the Bears make us crabby. You know, it's like the roller coaster. When you go on the roller coaster with the Bears
Yes. And
you get to the top and then it goes down, it's beautiful. But when you get to the top and then it just sticks, it's not so beautiful.
It's not.
You know?
There's no doubt that I'm really crabby today.
Oh, you're crabby. I'm crabby. Now, here's another thing. I say yesterday, great job by Allen Robinson. Great job, right?
That's his name?
Is that his name?
That's his name. Yep. Allen Robinson the second.
I got to hear from my son, Shane. He says, boy, sort of like your little remark with Cam Meredith, I think there should be a rule that last year's arguments don't count for this year. Because if Allen Robinson would have played like this last year.
But he was recovering from an ACL injury. It takes a while.
If Allen Robinson would have done what he's doing this year, last year, my Jordy Nelson argument is putrid and weak.
Yeah.
And so we got to go year to year. Because this is what they like to do. I don't want to brag. I'm not wrong all that much. So people latch on to like 2017, what did he say? You know, 1997, what did he say? Yeah, that's what people try to do. But you know what? I got a double whammy in the nutsack from Elbow and Shane, my two boys, my guys, with this Cam Meredith and Allen Robinson. I was on the ground just now. I just got up.
Mike, check this out. I remember during the Bulls dynasty at the very beginning. I think it was the second year when they played the Seattle.
People bring up you said 1994.
Yes, I remember you saying that you would trade Scottie Pippen for Sean Kemp, and I was like raging. I wanted to call the phone and say, Mike, are you nuts?
Yeah, that didn't turn out good for me. That was stupid.
Well,
I'm not saying I'm 100% guy.
No, I know that.
It's like I admit if I have a bad day at Vegas Scores and Odds or on the Bear Barroom or with the Odds Couple, I always have accountability, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I could come up with some other ones. But you know what? People don't ever call and say, remember you were right about Cutler for 8 years.
That's right.
Remember you didn't want Ditka fired and I wanted Wonstad. Remember, you know, they won't bring that up. And I don't want to bring it up unless I'm in a discussion like this to let
fine people
know. When you have an opinion about everything, you're going to be wrong sometimes. You are.
Absolutely. One final thought on Teddy Bridgewater. He threw for four.
I love Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, four touchdowns. He did throw an interception, but that was on a deflected pass. He just had a sensational game, and the Saints a big winner, 31-24. Really, the game was never that close. Jameis Winston threw two touchdown passes, but he had a really up-and-down game. And so let's now move on to the Panthers game.
Yeah, he always does, too. He always throws a bad interception.
Oh, my goodness.
No matter what, he'll be there for you.
Do you think that Bruce Arians can turn Jameis Winston into a top quarterback, a top, not maybe tier one, but a top of tier two quarterback?
I think so. I think, though, but Jameis Winston, he seems, look, you know what, Maturitia? It happened to me finally in my late 50s. getting older.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Only they don't have time to wait for Jameis Winston. Look, I can honestly say this. I might have been more mature to Jameis Winston at his age, and that's not saying a lot, okay?
Yes.
Like a lot of us. You know, he's got to run a whole football team. He's still a young guy. He had a lot of issues in his college career. But I think now, just stay out of the newspaper. Keep going to work. Do what Bruce Arians tells you, and I think maybe you'll deliver.
I hear you. Now, over at Carolina, my oh my, Christian McCaffrey is now zoomed into the MVP for 2019 conversation. He is just playing lights out. He had 19 carries, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then he also caught 6 passes for 61 yards and 1 touchdown. There, people after the game crowded his locker, praising him, and this is how he responded to all that praise.
I think I'm playing well. I think there's a couple things here and there that, you know, got to get better at. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's team game, team win, team losses. And, you know, my job is to do my job. And it doesn't happen if the guys up front don't block, if Kyle's not making the right calls. You know, it's a huge team game, you know. So there's a lot of good statistical games. There's a lot of bad statistical games. And at the end of the day, we just got to focus on, you know, doing our job and executing.
Christian.
Talk about humble, huh?
I wanted him so bad.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. I wanted him to win a Heisman. The media was against him. I don't know. Too white, too little. I have no idea.
I heard that, Leonard. Mike. I heard that, you know, some people didn't want him because white running backs don't succeed
too little,
in the
but
NFL.
That's not racist.
Yeah, right.
apparently they didn't watch college football at Stanford. The guy was a machine. He's the best all-purpose back in football. It's not even close. Oh, you got your guys that can run for 200 yards like Fournette, who was a pretty good running back himself, but not the all-purpose back that McCaffrey is. He's the best in the game, period. Heads down. Nobody better.
Yep, I'm with you. This kid is phenomenal, and I'm glad that there's finally a chance, at least, of seeing somebody else other than a quarterback win the MVP. I'd love to see a running back win it.
But what do you do without Cam? What's going to happen with Cam Newton now?
Right, because this Kyle Allen
kid. They win every week.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton is now officially on the trade block because I think he lost his job.
I mean, feast of famine, MVP type guy, now all of a sudden. And you know what? You see, you know what they do? He's hurt still.
Yeah.
They don't even get into it. He might have been healthy yesterday. Who knows?
That's right.
I mean, but they can't make a change now, can they?
I think they would be foolish to you got to ride
can
the hot hand.
Can I tell you something? When I hear from you the three eyes, that's a problem. I do the same thing sometimes. That, you know what that tells you? They got to keep them there.
That's right.
When you do three eyes, I've done it. I that means they got to keep them there.
Have you ever done four or five eyes?
Oh, my God. Oh, absolutely. When I got stopped by the cops for the DUI. Let's do the alphabet and get it over with.
Priceless.
Let's do the alphabet and get it over with. I'll try to make it the Q.
All right, the Eagles were a big winner against the Jets, 31-6. I chose. I'm not going to play the Jordan Howard soundbite.
Come on!
No. And then
you got a Jordan Howard soundbite, please.
No, he's
I got his poster on my wall.
He's boring. Buffalo Bills.
I just think the guy. I'm not saying they probably be 2-2. I just think the guy deserves a little bit more respect.
I'm with you, Mike.
I just don't think you should belittle one guy. You know what? When I hear people say that they'd rather have one guy over another because they're just Bear fans. I think Philadelphia's a better team with him at running back. I do. And I think now that they got a guy that can run, that's fine. But I just don't think, you know, to try to save face with Montgomery or anybody else, we should belittle a guy who basically, when he carried 510 times, although I'm curious, how many times did he fumble even? He didn't fumble that much, did he?
Jordan
Howard. He was always pretty reliable.
No, he had that one season. I think it was his second season.
He had his first season. He averaged over 4-point-some yards a carry.
Right. And
4.2. His second year, 3.7. He was not a breakaway back. He's a between-the-tackle guy.
That's
and
right.
Like I said on Twitter yesterday, I don't know. There's three mysteries in life. The giant pyramids, UFOs, And why does Tariq Cohen get a ball and to run up the middle? Why?
I saw that, yes.
Why would anybody say, get the 5'6" guy that weighs 100 and nothing and have him go up the middle against a line that weighs 1,000 pounds?
And
why?
I don't think Tariq Cohen wants to run up the middle. I think he's faced enough punishment in the NFL. I see him heading for the sidelines a lot of times nowadays.
And where does he get him in space? Because he played good when he got in space.
Oh, yes. Oh, and that punt return, that 71-yard punt return, gave the team life. And but you're absolutely right. There's no way they should be blocking or running up the middle. Those are not Tariq Cohen's strengths. That is for sure. All right. I think we covered every game, and so now I just wanted
what a job.
You are the man, Mike North. Tell me a little bit about this baseball game. What's the score? What's going on with the score right now? It is
Right now, Tampa Bay 5, Houston 1. They're kicking Houston's ass right now. I took Tampa Bay today plus the 130 from Vegas Scores and Odds. It's the only baseball game I took for Vegas Scores and Odds. I got the Browns 49er game side and total for tonight. Speaking of baseball,
okay,
did you read, and I know you saw it on Twitter, I don't think I've been madder. I'm cutting ties with the White Sox, man. I've been honest. I've been a White Sox fan since Nelly Fox.
Right.
But when former players are coming out of the woodwork and saying that Jerry Reinsdorf said the best thing to do as an owner is to finish second place, I'm finished with that organization. They never fooled me. They play this little rebuilding game. They push minor leaguers like Vaughn and like Robert, and you know, they prop up individual players while hiding the fact that their team is absolutely horrible. I'm sure it's not a big deal today because half the media works with Jerry Reinsdorf, but to me, that's it for me. I can't root for a team where the owner tells the players we'll be better off in second place.
Now, so this was I saw the tweet that you sent out. Which player revealed that? Can you
Jack McDowell.
Oh, Jack McDowell said that? Wow.
I got it right here.
Wow.
I got it right here. Hold on, because I'll get it up for everybody right now in case you missed it today.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jack McDowell made a statement. It got out in the papers this past week, and I just pray to God Darryl Van Schoen doesn't get fired from the Sun-Times. He broke the story about an executive named Sampson from the Marlins, mm-hmm. who Jerry Reinsdorf said to him, don't finish first, always finish second. Leave that carrot in front of the fans. And Sampson said it, and Reinsdorf said, I don't recall him saying that, okay? He didn't say he don't recall, which means, in my world, he did. But then, this morning, Jack McDowell comes out with a tweet. Guys, if you go back to posts from about a year ago, I pointed this out. He told me to my face the same thing. Here's my best advice to you, Jack. Finish in second place every single year. Sampson said Reinsdorf told him because your fans will say, wow, we got a shot. We're in it. But there's always the carrot left. There's always one more step to take. McDowell then writes, that's effing BS. I'm cleaning it up, Aldo.
Right.
He say that and do. And do it. What an asshole.
Wow, Mike, that is
huge. And then
huge.
He comes back and says, no shit. Tell your investors, not your player, who wants to win the championship. I'm sorry, I'm finished with this team.
Wow.
And you know what? I've been close to being finished with them a few times, but I will not support an ownership or a team that isn't going out to win.
And why?
And you know what's the worst thing that's happened? He's taken over the media. And the under 35 White Sox fans,
right,
the younger fans, mm-hmm. they buy the crap. The Vaughns, the Roberts. Oh, look at this guy at Charlotte. They buy the propaganda. And right here in black and white, you have an owner of a Major League Baseball team saying he isn't trying to win. That's despicable. And a player, a former stud player,
yes,
coming out and said, he said it to me.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's on my Twitter line. I could retweet it out there, but if you look for it, you'll find it.
I will.
It's on my front page.
I will retweet it as well. Here's the issue with Jerry Reinsdorf. He wants to keep that payroll as low as possible. That's because he thinks that's the easiest way to make money. You don't have to worry about selling out every game.
He's a businessman. He's not a competitor.
Exactly.
He's a competitor in business. He's not a winner.
Exactly.
He's not a competitor in the sportsman type champ. Sure, he won six. You know what? You know how pissed he must have been that Jordan fell in his lap and he couldn't finish second? Because what has he done since Jordan's left? Nothing.
That's right.
Made up the money he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Made up the money he lost during the Jordan years. Tenfold.
Yep.
It's a joke that this guy's allowed to own a baseball team. Look what he's done to their franchise. Look what he's done. Nothing.
It's sad. It is sad. I am looking at payrolls for Major League Baseball teams, and the White Sox are 24th at $90 million. The top team, according to USA Today, are the Chicago Cubs, $211 million. While the
Cubs find a win.
Yeah, exactly. While the White Sox, $90 million, and the Cubs, $211
million. And Renteria is still the manager.
Unbelievable.
And Robin Ventura before him. And Terry Bevington. Just yes men. And the people in the front office, I mean, my God, you know what? You want to talk about a bunch of yes men, huh?
Yep.
I mean, talk about sniffing the undercarriage. Holy Christ. They're looking up at his sack. It's unbelievable. That front office is despicable. And Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm sorry, that's made public. That is public. And today, not too much will be said. You think today anything's being said about this? People want to continue working in this town.
Believe me. Just going to ask you, why isn't that like front page news?
You think it will start off on any show on NBC Chicago? That he owns?
No.
It should be Daryl Fryan's show and brought it out, and then McDowell saw it. And I'm going, oh, my God, did he really say that? So he said it to more than one person. He has probably said it numerous times, and the dope don't even remember. How do you even say that publicly?
I am baffled by that, and I am very, very disappointed. We've got to talk more about this on Wednesday's show, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. Mike, give a shout-out to the guys over at VSAO. And
Vegas Scores and Odds. We'll talk more about it, because I'm not going to let that go, by the way.
Oh, we can't.
I'm not going to let it go, and the reason I won't let it go is because I've known all along. The rebuild thing, it's just a joke. It's just a joke, folks. I tried to tell you that he plays you. He plays the young fans especially. I don't mind White Sox fans having podcasts, but if you're a fanboy, then you're never going to see the forest through the trees. I know Jerry. It's all about the Benjamins and making money for his partners. And that's fine, but you can't be caught saying something like that.
Absolutely not.
And if you look up Darryl Van Schoen's column, folks, you could see it in the Sun Times, too. I believe it was yesterday's Sun Times. It was out on Twitter. But let me just give a count out to Vegas Scores and Odds. Let me give a count out to these wonderful people there, because nobody does a better job than the people at Vegas Scores and Odds. I'm always proud. Aldo's proud to represent them. We had a great week this week. The whole camp had a good week. All the handicappers had great weeks. 4-1 in the NFL. I had Indianapolis last night, folks. How do you like them apples?
Huge.
I have Tampa Bay today. It's 8-1. It's all documented. And I'll have Accountability Tuesday tomorrow. On Tuesday, that makes sense. And Vegas Scores and Odds, Bears Barroom Network. What a marriage we've had. And then to go along with Carm and everybody at AM 1000 Outs.
And we had our first fight today.
No, we did. Oh, you mean the argument about the Jordan Howard?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a fight. That's a debate. That's heated. That's nothing.
That was fun.
Are you kidding? I just hope if I come to your house Wednesday, if I have to come to your house, I hope the door's open. That's all I'm going to say. I'm surprised you didn't see the McDowell cut, though.
Yeah, I've been drinking a lot lately. What can I say?
Have you really?
No.
What was your drink of choice back in the day, my friend?
Oh, I'm a rum, tequila, bourbon, whiskey.
How did I know that? I'm a little
bit of everything drinker.
Yeah, Yeah, I guess I was too. Great time.
Great time, Mike. And remember, follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter. It is at VSAO Sports. And Mike, we'll talk to you on Wednesday, okay?
Sounds good, Aldo.